You're listening to the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at sevillepodcast.com. Lectures, radio shows, and more are available on demand at sevillepodcast.com. Now available through email. Sign up on our homepage. I'm Dan Gould. On the second Wednesday of each month, the Senior Statesmen of Virginia present outstanding speakers of local and regional interest. In December, they pause to reflect on the past and future of their organization. SSV founding member and past president Gene Ecton Davis spoke at the meeting about the organization's history. Following Ms. Davis' presentation, senior statesmen members reflected on how they might better serve their community in the coming year. Ms. Davis spoke at the organization's annual meeting held at the Branchlands Manor House on December 9, 2009. The event was moderated by SSV President Marvin Hilton.
Okay, one of the first things I would like to do is to thank our gracious host for today's luncheon, Sue Lieberman, right there. It was a great lunch, Sue. We really enjoyed it. Appreciate you doing that for the Senior Statesman of Virginia. As the outgoing president, at least at the end of this month, I'd like to thank the individual members of the board of directors that we have at present. First of all, I'd like to thank two of the people that I consider to be the backbone of SSV. One is Jim Peterson over here. Would you mind standing, Jim? Jim does everything. I have said often that if we had to pay Jim for his services, we'd have to bet triple the membership fees. He does our newsletter. He does our audio at all of our meetings. And he helps Berta, who is the next person I consider to be the backbone. Berta Hassel. Berta mails all of our meeting notices out. She makes arrangements for our board meetings. And she makes arrangements for our regular meetings, at least until we moved into the senior center. The next person I would like to thank is Bill Davis, our secretary. One of the things we've did on the board this past 2 years that I have served under is we involved everybody that we could in establishing our regular meetings, getting speakers in for our regular meetings and whatnot. And Bill has been instrumental in bringing in quite a few speakers during the last 2 years. Thank you a lot for that, Bill. Jim Perkins, who was sitting right there, I don't know where he went. Jim is our publicity director. He gets all the information. There he is. Gets all the information out to the TV stations, radio stations, and the news media and whatnot. And he's getting better and better at that. We're getting better on bringing the TV stations in and whatnot. And because of the economy, I think a lot of them have held back as opposed to a couple of years ago. They're not coming out the way they used to. But Jim is riling them up and getting them out a little bit better than it was a few months ago. The next person I'd like to thank, a director on the board, is Doris Key. I don't know if Doris is here or not. Doris? Doris Key is our correspondence person. She's did an excellent job of keeping in contact with our members and particularly writing condolences cards to people who've had hard luck in their families and passed away and whatnot. Fred Terry, our programs director. Fred is our anchor on all our programs. He's a man we depend upon to write the letters to the candidates when we have a candidates forum, for example, and to write the final thank you notes and whatnot. And Fred is a very persistent fellow. We always try to go after the best speakers we can possibly find. So we went after Sabato at the University of Virginia. Nobody expected to get him, and we didn't, but Fred kept after him forever. Fred would not give up. He kept after Sabato and kept after him, but he still didn't come. And a second person we tried to get when he was Attorney General was McDonald, the guy who was going to be the next governor starting in January. And Fred persistently kept contact in his office. We didn't get him either, but Fred did not give up. So thank you, Fred, for all your efforts, and appreciate that. And then we have Bill Hodson, our treasurer for the past year. He's been on the board for a year, and he'll be serving on the board in the future, I think, as you'll see when the nominations come up. And Sue Lieberman, the person who is hosting this luncheon today, is our newest addition to the board. She replaced a person who resigned, so she'll have to be reelected to that position today as a director. But Sue is a great addition to the board. And then Don Wells, I don't know if Don is here, I haven't seen him. Okay, Don. Don is our outgoing president. Well, past president. He'll go off the board this time, and I guess I'll assume his position. And we started a web page this past year, and Don Wells was very instrumental in getting that started. He worked with Sean Tubbs to establish the web page. And for those of you who are not aware yet that we have a web page, it's seniorstatesman.org. So if you want to find out what is going to go on and what has gone on, go to that web page and you can find out. Now, since Don set the web page up with the help of Sean Tubbs, or maybe I should say it reversed because we had to pay Sean Tubbs to set the web page up, but since that time, Bruce Saunders, another of our members, has taken over to keep the web page up to date. And so far, he has done an excellent job. Even I had to get into the web page and put some dates in there for the upcoming meeting. So I try to learn things, at least get something out of the organization in the way of learning new things. And Bruce has been helpful in teaching me a few things about the web page. Okay, we've got new officers and we've got some people who have been officers, and a lot of us really don't know much about the history of the Senior Statesmen of Virginia. So my person who I always think of as being the Senior Statesman of Virginia is Gene Ecton Davis. So I got to thinking about that issue at the last meeting, and I said, and it occurred to me that, golly, we got new people coming in, and nobody's going to know anything about the history of this organization. And I think you should know that, because the old saying goes, if you don't know the history of the past, then you're doomed to repeat the bad things that happen. So I hope that Jean can give us a little background on the Senior Statesman of Virginia, since she was one of the founding members and has stuck with us the whole time. I don't think we have too many of those people left. Jean is quite a person. If you were here for the inauguration of this refurbished building, I told a few little stories about her. And she is a person who is almost everywhere. Everywhere I go, I see her. She has been serving recently on the Commonwealth Council on Aging, which is a commission that she chaired. She no longer chairs that commission, but she is still on it. And recently, she was invited to the White House. So only a week or two ago, she was sitting in the White House with the First Lady. Jean, would you mind giving us a little brief background on the history of the Senior Statesman of Virginia? Jean Davis.
First of all, I want to thank Marvin for the wonderful job he's done for the last 2 years. He really has increased our membership and has worked very, very hard. So I think we need to give him another round of applause. At your table, you will have a little description of what the Senior Statesman of Virginia has meant, and a description of what we do, and so I won't go over that. I just left it at everybody's table for y'all to read later. Everybody should have one. So let me begin. five strangers, and I apologize that I have to read this, but I want to make certain I get it all right. Five strangers met in the fall of 1995 at the first senior leadership program, which was a very pale copy by the Senior Center of the Leadership Charlottesville program, of which Sue Lieberman is a recent graduate. The program charge was $150 for about 6 weeks. The program was downsized the following year and transferred to the Jefferson Area Board for Aging, which downsized it again and ended it after the third session. When we met there, we quickly realized that it was a meet the community leaders, and it wasn't anything about leadership training. The five of us, Grace Patrick, Joe Lieberman, Mike Ludgate, Ray Torrey, and I, decided we could do better for less. We came up with a two-part plan. One, to create an organization which would allow seniors then age 50 and older. Now, I don't think there's an age limit. To meet and interact with community leaders from our region and our state at no cost. We would address issues raised by the members and the community leaders. Our second goal was to recreate the Virginia Silver-haired Legislature, which was created by Governor Charles Robb for two sessions and carried over for one session by Governor Gerald Blas, who ended it at the bequest of the Area Agencies on Aging, which had been given the mandate to do the work but had not been given any additional funds. We posted notices, and we spread the word about opening organizational meetings with refreshments, and we held it at the Gordon Avenue Library at no cost. We wanted a bottom-up, not top-down, organization. In these open meetings, we discussed and then selected by majority rule. One, the name of the organization. Senior Statesmen of Virginia beat out Commonwealth Citizens and some other names. Two, the mission of the organization. The mission of the Senior Statesmen of Virginia is to enable seniors to identify and articulate their viewpoints on the issues affecting all the citizens of Virginia, to encourage knowledge of and participation, active participation, in the legislative processes of government, and to disseminate information about the social, government, and educational institutions offering support and assistance. Three, our membership would be in two classes, only state and then the regional, which would include the state. The region would include Charlottesville and the five counties in Planning District 10, Albemarle, Fluvanna, Greene, Louisa, and Nelson. Four, the annual cost of membership would be $5 for the state-only members and $15 for the regional members, of which $5 would go to the state organization. The benefit of membership would be a monthly newsletter and a vote on all issues championed and all the activities of the organization. 6, the place to meet would be Northside Library, which would also be free, but it had more parking spaces than Gordon Avenue Library. 7, the day to meet would be the second Wednesday of the month, as no one had a conflict on that day. 8, the time of the meeting would be 1:30 to 3 in the afternoon to enable seniors to get morning chores done and enjoy lunch at home or in the dining room of retirement communities or with friends out at a restaurant before the meeting. And then beat the going home traffic after the meeting. All this was accomplished in ever larger open meetings over several months with sometimes very contentious discussion. Not all of those attending these organizational meetings joined, but in the months ahead, most of them did. The second Wednesday of February 1996, we met at Northside Library and initiated the Senior Statesmen of Virginia and the Jefferson branch of the Senior Statesmen of Virginia. 10 people paid $15 to join, so we could open 2 checking accounts, free, of course, and the Senior Statesmen of Virginia and the Jefferson branch of the Senior Statesmen of Virginia were born. Now, although we tried very, very hard with our second objective, recreating a senior legislature modeled on the 3 silver-haired legislative sessions which had gone before, and the high school boy state, girl state, and the model youth assembly. We compiled a lot of data on these programs and wrote a proposal which we took to the Department of Aging for the aging, which participated in the other 3 silver-haired legislatures. Then Commissioner Thelma Bland planned an Area Agency on Aging statewide meeting to introduce the proposal for another silver-haired legislature. But Governor George Allen issued a statewide mandate for no advocacy by state agencies. That ended the plan. But the Department for the Aging tried to help us by giving us copies of the names and addresses of the participants in the 3 sessions. We mailed proposals to all of them. But as they were 60 and many much older, 8 to 12 years before, most had moved. A few joined our state organization. Commissioner Bland resigned, and we met with her replacement, Commissioner Ann McGee, who told us, "We cannot support such an organization. What if you propose something to which we disagreed?" So the government support was non-existent. The 3 silver-haired legislatures were funded by donations acquired by the 2 governors. Boy State is funded by the American Legion. Girl State is funded by American Legion Auxiliary. And the Model Youth Assembly is funded by YMCA and YWCA. We had no such resources. The State Senior Statesmen of Virginia was formed as an umbrella organization We put on several annual forums, the major one being on electric deregulation, which was coming to Virginia but had not yet arrived. We had no funds for publicity, and after a forum on Social Security, when we brought in national representatives and had a very poor attendance, we decided to stop the state forums, and we merged the Jefferson branch of the Senior Statesmen of Virginia into just the Senior Statesmen of Virginia. So we had some successes and we had some failures, just as everyone does. The regional group was going with community support and interest. In May of 1996, we invited representatives of the city of Charlottesville and the five surrounding counties to a brainstorming meeting and a complimentary luncheon hosted by Westminster Canterbury of the Blue Ridge. We invited Deborah DeCroce, who at that time was president of Piedmont Virginia Community College. She gave a wonderful keynote speech on leadership. We then decided to ask, or we asked actually, those people present to come up with issues which we should support for our community. Well, they brought in lots and lots of different issues. So then we broke for lunch, complimentary of Westminster Canterbury of the Blue Ridge, in their main building. After lunch, upon returning, the group selected three broad categories into which most of the issues fell. Those three broad categories were education, government, and health. And thus, our three committees were formed. Every one of the people at that meeting and luncheon joined the Senior Statesmen of Virginia. By the end of the year, we had 100 members, 25 state and 75 regional. As we saw, lost the state membership because we couldn't get a senior legislature, the regional membership expanded, and we averaged around 100 members a year. The three committees held their own meetings, sometimes with speakers. Each committee chose regular meeting speakers in their own fields of interest. They also initiated several important projects. Our monthly meetings covered the gamut: education, health, government, transportation, taxation, you name it. The most attended programs, as Marvin has just said, are the candidates' showcases for the General Assembly and the 5th District Congressional races. These all take place in August because the Congress is in recess at that time. We also planned a state candidates' showcase featuring Mark Warner and Mark Early for governor, Tim Kaine and Jay Katzen for lieutenant governor, Jerry Kilgore and Donald McEachin for attorney general. We worked really, really hard to get these people to come to Charlottesville. The planned date was September 12th, 2001. Everyone canceled. The government committee tackled legislative bills and proposed issues for the members to support. They followed the legislative bills and resolutions proposed by our regional legislature. Every regional legislator's proposal we knew about. And we publish the listing in the newspaper, in the newsletter. Names, addresses, and telephone numbers of all state legislators were published in the newsletter. The health committee worked with the Thomas Jefferson Emergency Medical Services Council, UVA Health Sciences Center, and Martha Jefferson Home Care to create an emergency medical card, the card that is at your table, the yellow sheet. The Charlottesville Albemarle Rescue Squad mailed that in its annual fundraising letter several years ago to every member in the Charlottesville and Albemarle community. Martha Jefferson and UVA had that on counters for people to take. We purchased a little sleeve, a little plastic sleeve, and a little wallet size senior health record for every member of our organization. And in that, we folded and put that emergency medical card. The importance of the emergency medical card is the two numbers at the bottom of the card. The UVA medical history number and the Martha Jefferson medical history number. With those numbers, anyone can access your medical records if you're in an accident or run to a hospital in California or wherever. They can always pull that up on the computer from your medical history record. And you don't have your Social Security number out there for any identity theft. Nobody wants your medical history record. So the emergency medical services said, they don't care about your insurance. Forget that. Don't even bother with that. The hospitals may want it, but the rescue squads don't. Those two numbers will pull up everything. And they will let you know that you might be in a diabetic shock rather than being drunk. There's a big, big help in that area. So everyone had that. This was done by the health committee. The education committee distributed information in Albemarle County about the gold card, which allows senior residents age 60 and over to access free admission to the school's concerts and plays and all sorts of events, including most of the games. The education committee also brought a professor from Northeastern University in Massachusetts, together with SSV members who belong to the Engineer Association, IEEE, to replicate a middle school science program called RESEED, Retired Engineers in Science Education with Experiments and Demonstrations. SSV retired engineers were trained and given the experiments and demonstrations to use. The programs were accepted in several public and private middle schools in our region. Once begun, the SSV turned over management to COSBA, the Charlottesville Albemarle School Business Alliance. Senior Statesmen of Virginia members lobbied the Albemarle County School Board by telephone calls, emails, faxes, letters, and attendance and speeches to the Albemarle County School Board. At the Albemarle County School Board meeting, to name the new elementary school on Prophet Road for two outstanding SSB members, John Baker the first black Albemarle County School Board member and chairman, and also the first director of the Piedmont, Virginia Community College's downtown branch in Charlottesville, and James Butler, the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors' first black member, the first black chief of a Virginia Extension Service, and a member of the board of directors of Piedmont Virginia Community College. Dale Smith was one of those over here in the red jacket, was one of those who called and lobbied for this. Both men, now deceased, lived to join their families in the inauguration celebration of Baker Butler Elementary School. SSV does not ask for donations and does not present programs at meals for which a charge is made. It is run entirely by volunteers. There is no staff. We offer mental stimulation and socialization on a monthly basis. We hope you believe your membership is a good investment. Thank you.
Thank you a whole lot, Jean. That was an excellent overview of the past history of SSV. You mentioned some things I'd never heard of myself. So, obviously, SSV has been evolving over the years. And, for example, during my 2 years, and I think the previous 2 years to me being president, we did not have committees. We did everything on the board. And there may be some tendency to go back to the committees. I don't know about that. But you can see that's nothing new. We've been there before. So that's one of the things I wanted people to know. We've had several things come up in the board and during my 2 years that were things that were suggested that we had gotten away from years before because there was a reason for it. And Jean has helped out in that regard. I passed things to Jean and asked her, well, what should we do here? Is this something new? Or is this something bad? Or is this something good? And she would give me her feedback pretty handily. Now, what we'd like to do next is to open the floor up to discussion. If you have any ideas as to what you think SSV should be doing in the future, then now's the time to get it out. And I'd like to ask our new president, starting the first of the year, Bill Hodson, to come on up and see if he can goad you to give him some ideas as to what direction he should be going in. Come on up, Bill. So, has anybody, you may not have anything to entertain, I hope you do. Has anybody got any ideas on what SSV should be doing, which direction we should be going into in the future? You've heard about the past, and let's think about what's up and going to be next. You want to say anything? I didn't mean to spring this on
you. I just wanted to say thank you, I think. But I will appreciate all that Marvin has done, and we'll follow the footsteps and hope for some great progress. And Betty, you had a question?
No, I just wanted to compliment the group on doing the... I wanted to compliment the group on the emergency medical card and all of the other. I think we have a great history here. It's going to be difficult to follow, really. We got a lot of work to do. But I thought in this card it says, do you know, to have this in your home. But I thought we should also have it in our cars and maybe some other places where you know, it might be useful. Thank you.
That's a good idea, Betty. Any other comments, suggestions? Yes, sir. This is our latest member here.
As of 1 hour ago.
As of 1 hour ago, would you tell us who you are?
Bill Millick from the Colonnades. The only thought I had was in coordinating with other service organizations and groups in the community who have speakers and have some of the same issues in mind and maybe one could coordinate with some of these other organizations who range for speakers, and where they have a speaker maybe in the evening, that same speaker who might be in town could stop by and meet with us.
Yeah, we do steal a few speakers from other organizations as it is, and Bill Davis has been responsible for doing all that robbing, but he has brought in some good speakers. Another announcement I should make is that this past year we entered into an agreement with the Senior Center to have all of our meetings there, whereas we used to meet at the Northside Library. When I say used to, I mean in the most recent few years before last year. And this year, Beth Barber and I reviewed the situation. We both agreed that we'd like to continue that relationship forward. I brought it before the board, and they agreed to continue on. So all of our meetings in 2010 will be at the Senior Center as they were this past year. You have a good idea, though. There are other organizations that we could try to work with and coordinate with, and I hope that old Bill Hodson here can follow that up.
I'm a new member, and I'm looking at that emergency medical card. Is it possible that we could multiply by hundreds use of this card by putting it on the website?
Yeah, I think we could do that okay. Like I said, we've got a good person who's keeping our website updated, Bruce Saunders, and I'll talk to him about that in the next day or two and see if he can get it on there.
Could you ask the membership to help us in encouraging other people to join? Since we don't have the age limit anymore, we're trying to reach out to as many people as possible to get not just the membership, but the word put out at the various topics in education and health and politics and things that we're involved in. And we find that a lot of the younger folks are interested as well. And if we could get the information out to them, maybe even come to Westminster Canterbury or University Village or any of the other places and make a presentation by the board to explain what we're doing and also solicit. So we're really asking the membership to help us publicize our mission and to publicize any of the meetings that we have and the days that go on.
Yeah, I think everybody heard that without me reiterating it. We do need the membership's help. One of the things I did try to do over the past 2 years is I tried to activate as many members as I could, using them as moderators and whatnot. And I really made a strong effort at that, and it didn't succeed as well this past year as it did back in 2008. But once in a while, you get yourself in trouble when you try to reach out too far. But we would like to have the involvement of everybody, all of our members.
Bill? This is Bill Davis. Following up on what Jim Perkins said, I told Jean Acton to be sure she spoke into the microphone, and now I'm not doing it.
You have problems, don't you?
Yeah, right. But to follow up on what Jim said, we encourage everybody in SSV to bring their friends to the meetings. It's really, it's a great group, and we have some really outstanding programs. And we do need more and more people to come simply because people we can say we have that attend, the much easier it is to get the speakers. And so I really encourage everyone to do that. Secondly, I encourage everybody here to submit ideas. We read those. We've had some of that this past year. We read suggestions that the board receives for programs, and we take them very seriously. So we really want the input from the membership as to what they would like to hear, who they would like to hear as speakers, and what subjects they would like to have covered. It's very, very helpful to do that. And finally, we invite everyone to, you don't have to be on the board to participate, We invite you to participate. If there's a committee that you might like to work with, we encourage you to do that. In fact, we're probably going to be asking some people to help out on some committees, people that are non-board members. The more people we get involved, the stronger an organization we're going to have.
What I'm indicating to Bill is that if you have these ideas, call us, any of the members of the board, or send in a written idea to our mailing address that we have in the news bulletin. Do we have an email address, Jim Peterson?
No.
We don't. Okay. Maybe we should do that, too, in case anybody is used to communicating via the email. But whatever it is, call us up. Our telephone number should be made available, I think, in our newsletter. And we'll see to it that you can get the information to one of us. And we really need your help and ideas.
Absolutely. Sue Lieber would like to.
Thank you. Actually, Bill Smith addressed most of what I wanted to say, but I just want to give a little addendum there. As you all know, we bend over backwards to try and be non-political, meaning non-partisan. But that doesn't mean that if there's an issue that is of interest and concern to the general membership, that we can't, at least from my perspective at this juncture, become a lobby force for that issue as long as it doesn't cross over party lines. So I know most of us in this room are old enough to remember John Gardner, who started the Common Cause Party, which was issues-oriented, non-political, and that's my dream for senior statesmen. So I would, again, reiterate what Bill said, and please, any issues that are of concern, not just for programs, but issues on their own, and then we can put together a program, don't hesitate to contact any one of us.
Yeah, I might say that our last meeting, our November meeting, was a member-requested forum. We had the Thomas Jefferson Planning Commission. Billy Campbell came and gave us a talk to tell us what that was all about, and that was a request from one of our members. So we do follow up on these things. One thing I would ask you to do is when you recommend a program, also try to recommend to us where we can go to get the speaker, where we can go to get the information. It's not quite enough most of the time just to tell us what to do without giving us some help as to how to do it, where to go for it and whatnot. Fortunately, Sue was a personal acquaintance of Billy Campbell, so we had a good contact there, and we got the program scheduled pretty quickly. But here again, to reiterate, we do want your input. We will look at these things, and we will try to follow through on them. We have several others that we've followed through on to a certain point, and we've hit a dead end, but we will go back to those. And one was the water resources question. The water conversation that's going on in Charlottesville and Albemarle County. And we probably will still be following through on that in the next year or two and try to do something with it. Another thing we had done in the past 2 years is I suggested to the board that we eliminate the 50-year-old age requirement. And our thinking was to try to average our age down. We're all getting older, and I guess the average age of this organization is probably somewhere close to 75 and 80, somewhere in that range, and that's an average. So what I was hoping for was to get a few younger members, say in the 40s and 50s, to come in. I don't think we've been too successful with that, but we did open it up so that option is available now. We can bring in a 6-year-old baby, I guess, the way the bylaws are written now.
Yes, you spoke about education, and so I'm wondering, are you talking about educating the people who are on the board or people our ages? Because I think people who are here probably are as aware of what needs to be done as people, you know, but my concern is, how about the young people? I'm talking about really young people. High school and college kids. I think my dream is that college kids will be taught civics and learn how to debate questions in a normal civilian way. And so that's kind of something I'm interested in, and I wonder how other people feel about that.
Grace?
I was thinking that whole issue of civil discourse and the way it hasn't been civil lately would be an excellent program to start to plan. So it could be non-biased, but just to try to talk about the way things have been happening lately. For example, not that I want to sound partisan, but the attacks, virtual attacks against Tom Perriello, and how it should be handled if people are against him. So that would be my suggestion for maybe a program.
Program on civility?
Yes.
Yeah.
Discussion.
Actually, there was one at the Miller Center recently, the former movie star who is retired now.
Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah. There's our man with the Miller Center sitting right back there. He can tell you anything about the Miller Center. Yeah, there was a program there about a month ago or so that I went to, and he was high on civics, and I thought it was a darn good program. I agree with you. I think there's too much political bias going on. I think one part is at one extreme and the other part is at the other extreme. And I'm a firm believer in George Washington. George Washington said back when he was president, he did not believe in political parties. He thought it was a bad idea to go to political parties because you get too much bias one way or the other and they wind up not doing what's right for the people. That was George Washington's position. I agree with that. But take a note of that, Bill. What you sent to you is still the secretary that we should follow up on a civics type of program.
Marvin, could we get the lady's name that made that suggestion on the civil thing, and she can talk with us and make sure that we get some more information from her and maybe some participation. Shirley Bloomer. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Well, we're running out of time. There are people who are going to be picked up around 2:30, so let's take one more question or one more comment, and then we'll conclude for the day. Anybody else want to make a suggestion?
Just to add to that, there was a panel discussion just on that subject at Dickinson, and I attended that, and it was a very interesting program. They had ex-president from the university, O'Neill, was there, and an African-American woman who was the first law student graduate from UVA, a couple other lawyers, and somebody from the head of anyway, it was an excellent program. It was open to the public, and it was great. So I mean, those speakers I think would be very good to and willing to come.
Is there a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
Is that it? Okay. All in favor of adjourning the meeting? Okay. Look forward to seeing you at our next meeting in January, second Wednesday.
For the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, I'm Dan Gould.